Chapter 27, God Moved, Part 2. During the break, Carlos noticed that the 7/8 inch cable was slowly slipping through the three hitches. He pointed to the cable, indicating to me that it was very greasy. I had a small roll of electrical tape in my pocket, so I tightly wrapped a piece in front of each hitch. The cable stopped moving. Then Carlos frantically pointed to the cables on the other side of the river and immediately grabbed the tape from my hand. I knew exactly what he was going to do. Standing between the cable towers, I was relieved to see Carlos as he emerged from behind the far side bridge tiers. The hitches placed on those cables seemed to be holding, but I felt more at ease with the wraps of tape on them. I stood for another minute and watched the other men looking at the two cables sagging across the river. I could tell they were excited at what they had accomplished. I broke the silence with, "Hey, cable." Even though it was an enjoyable moment for everyone, we still had two more runs of cable to pull across the river. We spent the next hour pulling the remaining 7/8 inch and 1 inch cables across the river and securing them with additional pieces of rope. Unfortunately, there wasn't enough of the 1 inch cable left on the spool for another full pull, so the day ended with only four cables being pulled across the river. On Wednesday, we worked on cutting the walking planks to the proper length. Everyone took a turn using the wooden handled handsaw, which had a large, flimsy cutting blade like the one I inherited from my grandfather. Though I hated using that saw, I made sure to take my fair share of turns with this one, since there were well over 100 boards to be cut. That afternoon, Milos came to the bridge site to inspect our progress. He surprised me with the bridge plaques he had made in El Salvador, one in Spanish to place on the bridge, and one in English to display in my church. The gold and metal plaques with black engraved lettering were absolutely beautiful in the bright sunshine. I read and reflected upon each name, but stopped to point out Orlando's name to Santos. After Milos had finished inspecting the cables, he dictated a long to-do list to me. The main task was to cut a 30-meter roll of tubing into six smaller pieces, then wrap and tie each piece around the near side anchor's rebar cage. After placing the rebar cage into the excavation, each cable would be pushed through a tube and temporarily secured back to itself using a few cable clamps. All the materials we would need were stored inside the house at the top of the hill. Before I could ask any questions, Milos handed me a long nylon lifting sling from the back of his SUV. I listened carefully as he explained that the sling was to be placed around the cable towers to hold the tension of the cables while the ends were untied and fed through the tubes. When I asked him how I was to attach the cables to the sling, he sarcastically replied, "Figure it out, Thomas." Then Milos brought out a familiar-looking tool and asked, "Do you think you can use this?" Smiling as I took the tool from him, I emphatically answered, "I believe so." The tool was a small handheld winch, commonly known as a come-along. I remembered as a kid watching my dad use one to tighten the chain-link fence around the garden in Great Falls. I wasn't exactly sure how I was going to use it to attach the cables to the sling, but knew it could pull and tension each cable. It was now getting late, and Milos needed to leave, so we carried and locked everything inside the house. We worked all Thursday morning cutting and securing the tubes around the rebar cage. After lunch, we maneuvered the cage into the excavation behind the approach ramp. This job ended up being much more difficult than it first appeared due to having to cut away the excess lengths of rebar on both ends with a hacksaw. Once the cage was squarely in place and at the correct angle, the 12 flexible tubing ends flared out of the anchor excavation like the tentacles of an octopus. I nicknamed it the Conduit Monster and took a quick picture. This was our only accomplishment for that day. Friday morning at breakfast, I checked over Milosh's to-do list and read the last two items. The first remaining task was to attach the cables to the nylon sling so the ropes could be untied from the cables. The last task was to push each cable through a tube and secure the end of the cable with the cable clamps. I meticulously thought through the steps of each task and anything I needed to purchase. Right off, I knew from my underground cable pulling experience at the electric company that coating the first couple of feet of the cable with a lubricant would make it easier to push through the tube. So before leaving, I walked over to the small store located on the opposite street corner. Inside the store reminded me a lot of the old pharmacy that once operated on the street corner in the part of my hometown known as Flopeye, but much smaller and a lot less convenient. It seemed that almost every item in this pharmacy was either behind the counter or in a glass display case. Behind the counters, there was shampoo, soap, hair products, diapers, toothpaste, and other baby care items, but nothing like petroleum jelly. The mob of people made it very difficult to peer into the display cases, but I looked the best I could twice. I slowly walked outside to meet my ride. Before mounting the motorcycle, I decided to walk back into the store to take one last look. Most of the standing room only crowd had now dispersed, allowing me to get a closer look at the items in the display cases. Scanning over every product, my eyes grew wider when they spotted the small jars of petroleum jelly. Arriving at the bridge site, I was encouraged at what I saw. Instead of sitting and waiting for me to tell them what to do, the men and women of the community were already busy cutting the boards for the walking planks. I took a few pictures and then showed Carlos and Santos the proper way to stack the boards to prevent them from warping, knowing they would be sitting out in the weather for at least another month. Turning my attention to the real work that needed to get done today, I walked down and stepped over the approach wall to devise the best method of getting the cables fed through the tubes. Carlos walked back towards the tree, stopping where the ropes were tied to the cables. When I got to him, he already had out his pocket knife ready to cut the rope from one of the cables. Though this would be the easiest way, I politely discouraged him because I knew that today, with only 7 men, counting ourselves, pulling and tensioning the cable back across the river would be nearly impossible. I went and stood in front of the bridge tiers and looked up at the three walkway cables lying between the cable towers. The fourth cable, designated as a handrail cable, was still lying on the ground beside the tiers. Santos soon returned with the come-along and nylon sling from the house. I took the sling and pointed to the cable towers. I watched as 2 men climbed up the tiers and placed the sling over the towers. The sling fully encircled both towers. I grabbed the come-along and snapped its stationary hook onto the sling, let out about a foot of its steel cable, and held its cable hook up beside the first 7/8-inch cable. I watched as Carlos took a short piece of rebar and bent it into a shape of a hook. He held the rebar hook up to the 7/8-inch cable to show me his idea of attaching it to the cable. This was an excellent idea. I took and held the hook up against the cable while Carlos attached it with several pieces of the steel tie wire. With the hook now secured to the cable, I stretched and snapped the come-along's cable hook onto it. Then I helped Carlos make a second hook from the rebar, which we attached to the cable at a point about a foot from the sling. My idea was to pull a little more cable across with the come-along so that this second hook could be placed over the nylon sling. Once we removed the come-along, the sling would then be holding the full tension of the cable, like we needed. I slowly started winching the 7/8-inch cable towards me with the come-along. Each time, after fully pulling the handle towards me, I would point to the come-along's mechanical brake, or ratchet lever, indicating I was making sure it was fully engaged before releasing and moving the handle back to the forward position. I knew the importance of that lever being fully engaged after each pull, and the consequences if the handle was released and it wasn't. The come-along would uncontrollably unwind a portion or even all of its cable. After several repetitions with the come-along, I could already tell we had attached the second hook too far down on the cable. Regardless of that fact, I kept pulling the handle back, checking the ratchet lever, releasing the handle forward, and then pulling it back again. This was dangerous, and I became a little uneasy because I knew the small come-along was now transferring several tons of force between the rebar hook and the nylon sling. The second hook was now almost touching the sling, and with one more pull, pow! The distinctive sound of a rifle being fired caused everyone to immediately look up and across the river to where the sound originated. At that moment, everyone saw the 7/8-inch cable sliding off of the far side bridge tier, and finally the end of the cable as it plummeted off the cliff, landing on the rocks below. For a moment, everyone just stood there in astonishment, no one wanting to believe what they had just witnessed. It became apparent that the rifle sound we heard was actually the pull tape rope stretched to almost its breaking point, finally slipping off the end of the cable and instantly recoiling. Then I saw something incredible. One of the men had already made it across the river and was starting to climb the near vertical rock wall. He had the end of the cable in one hand and was somehow finding footholds and grabbing onto every vine that he could, pulling himself up that wall like a spider. Some of the men ran and started helping him by pushing the cable up the wall, while others were now standing on top of the cliff waiting to grab the end of the cable. They were like a well-trained army following their commander. But who was the man scaling the wall? I quickly went down to the river to get a closer look. It was Gary, the Patistule community leader, now leading his people in battle. He had probably seen too many people over his lifetime drown in that river, and then knowing his friend, Orlando, was the most recent victim. Gary knew that completing this bridge would forever end that cycle of tragedy for his people. He was determined to win the war. Once they had resecured the cable, everyone came back across to help with the next one. Carlos and I first inspected how the cables were tied off with the rope. We immediately noticed that even with three handcuff hitches and the added pieces of tape, the cables were still creeping back through. The large cables sagging across the river were not only heavy and greasy, but also under a lot of tension. Carlos then demonstrated to me an idea of using the steel tie wire to better secure the rope to the cable. I nodded my head in agreement. He hurriedly went and got the reel of tie wire and the pliers. I watched as he wrapped and tightly twisted a small piece of the tie wire in front of each handcuff hitch. After Carlos finished applying the three wraps of tie wire to each cable, he pointed towards the far side tiers. "See," was my immediate response to him. He left with a few of the others following close behind. Once they returned, we completed winching and attaching the second 7/8-inch waltway cable to the sling. Attaching the second cable went a lot faster because we had solved all of the pitfalls encountered with the first cable. The 1-inch waltway cable and the 1-inch handrail cable still remained to be worked. With rain now threatening, I helped Carlos quickly secure the two rebar hooks to the 1-inch walkway cable. This was the last cable I wanted to get attached to the sling because I needed to get a few of the cables pulled through the ducts so I could show Santos and Carlos how to properly install the cable clamps. Since this was my last day, I let Carlos operate the come-along for this cable. I showed him the ratchet lever and how to properly release the handle and move it back forward in position for the next pull. After he completed a couple of pulling sequences with my instructions, I stepped back to let him complete the next pulling sequence on his own. Carlos pulled the come-along's handle towards him very slowly and then inspected the ratchet lever before releasing and moving the handle back to the forward position. But his next pull was very quick and deliberate, and without checking to make sure the ratchet lever was fully engaged, he released the handle to move back forward. He quickly jumped back, letting go of the handle as the come-along uncontrollably unspooled over a foot of its cable. I again pointed to the ratchet lever. It was now getting late, so I grabbed the handle and began rapidly operating the come along, not stopping to give Carlos any more instructions. I quickly completed several more pulling sequences with the come along. As the men were struggling to get the second rebar hook placed on the sling, pow! The sound was unmistakable. Everyone briefly stopped and looked across the river to witness the 1-inch walkway cable slowly sliding over the bridge tier. At that moment, we all seemingly lowered our heads in defeat. I was the first person to reach the far side bridge tiers. I glanced over and saw the 1-inch handrail cable still secured and lying on the ground. Then I stood beside the bridge tiers and looked up and counted three cables still lying between the cable towers. I thought to myself, the cable must have gotten caught on something. This made perfect sense because I never saw the end of the cable come off of the bridge tiers. I carefully stepped around to the back of the bridge tiers, thinking one wrong move would cause the cable to dislodge from whatever it was caught on. Peeping over the approach wall, I saw three walkway cables lying side by side, with the cable ends perfectly aligned with each other. To my astonishment, all three cables were each still secured to the tree with a piece of rope. The rope attached to the end of each cable with three handcuff hitches and steel tie wire in front of each hitch. For a moment, I just stood there, not able to comprehend what I was seeing, what had just happened. And the night at church, when I gave the Nicaragua mission team's project update, as I finished telling this story, I slowly looked over the crowd of people in attendance. When I saw Bob staring at me, my eyes locked with his, and I gave the answer. Bob, God moved.